T.C. Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hill. He's a natural health expert, an author, and a film producer.
Hey, I think we're excited to have you guys here. I'm pretty sure we're going to talk about some fun stuff today.
I think we are. Actually, today we're going to talk about insomnia. Mm. So if you want to follow us on Facebook,
yeah,
Kick It in the Nuts, you know, there we'll post topics and you can put your questions and we'll answer them on the air for you. So go ahead and follow us right now at Kick It in the Nuts on Facebook.
You can call us with questions too, but we don't have a phone. Mm-hmm. So that's
not going to
be as good. So just post your questions on Facebook and we'll try to answer them on the next show.
When we become more fancy, maybe we'll get a phone.
That's going to be fun. It's going to be good times.
Yeah. For all of our Kick It Naturally listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial so you can check out their service. Mm-hmm. Just go to kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook to find the link.
And that's for all the listeners. Not even the annoying ones get it too.
Awesome.
That's nice.
So let's just dive into some insomnia before we get into questions.
Have you ever been like insomniac kind of chick or?
Not really, because I drink a lot.
Right. So that helps. Okay.
That helps me sleep. Yeah.
Well, the big thing with insomnia is that I always talk to people and like, well, I tried this and I tried that and that didn't work. And the problem is that looking for a remedy for insomnia is never going to get you what you're looking for because there isn't one. And the reason that is because the actual cause for insomnia can be different from person to person. So if you're not looking at what is causing that person's insomnia, then you're just kind of throwing darts at a dartboard. And that's kind of why one person will say, oh, I used this and I'm sleeping so awesome. You should try this. And then that guy tries it that night and he's up at 3 a.m. watching Gomer Pyle. Because he could have tried something that made his insomnia worse. So something that could help one person's insomnia, if it's working on the cause of their insomnia, could make another person's insomnia totally worse. So that's kind of what we want to talk about today. And if you don't know, insomnia sucks. It is the worst possible. You just lie there and you just stare at stuff, just hating everybody that's asleep. And it's,
well, unless somebody pretty is next to you and then you can just stare at them as they sleep.
Yeah, and you can fondle them and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they won't know because they're sleeping really well and you just wish you could do that. But if you are an insomniac, and I'll tell you this, that when you fix it, there is just, it's like the most amazing thing you've ever done. You like wake up and you're like, what the hell happened? It's not dark out anymore. And like, you can't believe that you actually made it through the night, and it's like Christmas. It's really a good time. So what we'll do here is I'll kind of talk about the two main causes that are the most common underlying cause for insomnia, and I'll just do it a little briefly, and then we'll kind of get into it a little deeper during the show while we go over some people's questions and stuff like that. So the first thing that happens with, it's probably the most common cause for insomnia is that, and this will be a little sciencey for a second, so just simmer down. You're gonna be all right.
I don't know.
Okay.
That scares me.
I know. Well, what happens is at the cellular level, our cells kind of open and close a little bit from day to night. Like at night, they're supposed to be more closed and they're kind of in a rebuilding state. And during the day, they're more kind of open and permeable. It's just a good way to look at it, to understand it easier, so that we can produce energy and we can, you know, vacuum the floor. It's important to have a clean floor.
Mm-hmm. Or just pay someone to do it for you.
Oh, and then you could just take a nap.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, let's just say that you had to vacuum your own floor.
Oh,
I know, it's a mess. But so our cells should shift back and forth like that, kind of like a flower opens and closes at night. Not your flower. I'm just talking about like a flower in the real world.
No comment. We're on the radio.
Oh. But some people kind of get stuck in one place for one reason or another, and there's lots of reasons that it can happen. But if a person is stuck in the awake mode all the time at the cellular level, then they're kind of awake all the time. Their body is awake, and so it kind of blocks their ability to sleep the way that they're supposed to. And it's because their body is not moving into the state where we sleep and rebuild and repair and all that kind of stuff. So that's a real common cause. And those states have a lot to do with different type of fats that make up the cellular walls and all kinds of stuff like that. And we'll talk about it a little bit. But know that there's ways that you can look at your own physiology and kind of understand if you're imbalanced in one direction or the other. And keep in mind that what we're looking at today is physiological things that can block your sleep. I mean, life can screw up your sleep too. If you're all super stressed out 1 week, you know, you might have a hard time sleeping. Or I had a guy telling me one time, hey, I'm an insomniac, man. And I started talking to him about it. And he's like, well, you know, my neighbor upstairs, he has this band and they practice until 1 a.m. I'm like, well, you're not an insomniac. You have a crappy neighbor.
You just need to go get rid of your neighbor.
Yeah. Yeah. There, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
So we're talking about physiological things that are going to block you from having sleep. And, so the other most common one, besides being overly catabolic and being in that awake mode all the time when you're not supposed to be, is a lot of people don't have enough resources to get them through the night. People think that when they go to sleep, everything shuts down, but there's some craziness going on while you sleep. You know, the body's doing lots of stuff. It's not taking a nap too. Mm-hmm. It's doing stuff. So what happens is when our mineral levels go real low, a person can have a seizure. And that's not that fun. I don't know if you've ever had a seizure.
No, not
lately. It looks
lately,
cool, but yeah, it's not fun. Mm-hmm. If a person's blood sugar goes real low, they can have a seizure too. But if both minerals and blood sugar go low at the same time, it's really easy for a person to have a seizure, and the body will freak out and give you a warning way ahead of time, like crave, you know, go have some sugar, go lick something that's salty, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it kind of warns you that you need resources. So a lot of people that kind of, maybe they wake up in the middle of the night or it's hard for them to go to sleep even, their body just doesn't have enough resources and it's telling them, hey, go get something, idiot. We're about to run out and have a seizure. And that doesn't mean you're about to have a seizure, but the body just gets really defensive.
I'm going to tell you that next time, Tony, when I want a cookie. I'm about to have a seizure now, so I have to have this.
But what we'll probably end up doing is just be like, you know, let's get the camera just in case.
Because it'll
be good on YouTube. So those are the two main causes, and we'll explain a little bit more as we cover some people's questions. But you can see that if you're stuck in a catabolic state all the time and you're trying to use some remedy that has worked for someone else who was having their insomnia because they're low on resources, it's not going to help you at all. And I think that's the trouble that a lot of people run into, is they're trying something that worked for their friend or some popular thing instead of looking at their physiology and understanding what their body needs. So why don't we look at some questions and let's see what people are worried
about.
All right.
Well, one question I just had. So zombies are typically catabolic because they never sleep.
Right.
All right. So you're pretty much screwed if you're a zombie.
So if there is a zombie apocalypse, then you could feed them butter.
Oh.
And butter helps a person move more towards the anabolic state, which is the sleep state. And you never see them do that in the movies.
Okay, let's write a movie about zombies and we're going to like help them with butter. That is a total different spin than I've ever heard.
Right. It'll be good stuff.
All right. All right, so Shane from Alcoa, Tennessee. How when you're totally exhausted and hardly keeping your eyes open, do you shut your brain off so it will let you fall asleep?
So Shane is having problems. Because her grammar's having
a hard time. Her grammar's having a hard time now.
Right. And you know what really sucks, that really confuses people, is that I have a lot of people tell me, well, you know, my brain is just so powerful that it's always going and I always have ideas and I'm always thinking about stuff and I just can't sleep because all the power that's in my brain. Mm. And I'm like, you're just an idiot. Because that's not really what's going on. It's just our perception. And it's really common for people to think that. But the reality is, and the way to view it, is that when we're awake, our brain is active. That's kind of how our brain works. And that's why there's experts out there that can teach you how to meditate or yoga and all these things that just teach you how to shut your brain up. because your brain is always going if you're conscious and awake. So if someone is stuck or has a physiological issue that's keeping them from sleep, bing, they will just think that, oh, my brain just won't shut up. So because their brain is chattering while they're lying there staring at the ceiling. Now, you can have things in life, that, you know, like we said, really stressful situations or, you know, maybe you're really excited about something, you're thinking about that and it's getting you all jacked up so you can't sleep. You know, that can be a real thing. But for most people, it's not that they can't shut their brain up. It's that there's some kind of physiological issue that's keeping them from sleeping. So their brain is just kind of keeping them company.
Interesting.
It's like their little friend.
Mm-hmm. So those people usually think they're geniuses because their brains won't shut off.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Amber. And she doesn't have a place where she's from. That's sad.
It is sad.
Why is it once an insomniac falls asleep, can't they stay asleep? My husband will be up for 28 hours straight and then sleep for 4 hours and then do it again.
Well, I don't want to say it might be that you're boring and so your husband just leaves and he goes out for a while or something. Because that's probably not the case. Amber's probably awesome.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. But what happens is, think about it, if a person is stuck in that catabolic state where their body is in that always awake situation, those people tend to not need a whole bunch of sleep because their body's kind of always making energy. Now, there is problems with this too. I don't want you to think, oh, I want to be a catabolic guy and I'll just go, go, go all the time. Because if you're stuck in that state, your body's never repairing and rebuilding like we're supposed to. And you know, those people can kind of end up where they're falling apart and aging faster and all other kind of problems can come too. You can shoot soup out your butt, you know, kind of diarrhea stuff a lot. That can be a cause of being over catabolic. It's not that fun. But, so what happens is they're kind of always awake, and if they finally come to a point where they're just so exhausted that they'll finally get some sleep, but then after, you know, 3-4 hours, they're ready to go again, and they can kind of go a little longer than everybody else. But if you can move into the anabolic state more, then they get to sleep. They get to hang with the cool kids.
So the best lovers are catabolic, right, Tony?
Right, so, until they fall apart and yeah, then they're worthless.
Okay. Okay, so Chris from New York City. Magnesium helps my girlfriend, but it makes my insomnia much worse. What gives?
So we kind of talked about this with Chris, you know, already a little bit. So magnesium is kind of a mineral that helps you relax, and it does that by helping your tissues relax. And a lot of times when there's not enough of the right minerals in the tissue, your body will kind of freak out and get a little stressed out too.
I'm a fan of magnesium.
Right. Yeah. And because it helps you to simmer down because you're a little tightly wound and you never know if it's because it's the redhead thing or what. But there's some, we've done intravenous magnesium with you just to get you to simmer down.
Exactly.
So, but the problem is that magnesium is a pro-catabolic mineral. So if a person's insomnia is because they're overly catabolic, magnesium is going to push them more catabolic and make them even more awake. And that blows.
Wow, Tony, you sound so smart right now.
It's an illusion.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but his girlfriend, it's probably leaning towards a situation where she has low resources. And you can kind of look at your girlfriend's blood pressure. And if it's low, if it's like the systolic, which is the top number, is under 100 or really under 112 is considered low, then that's a good indication that her minerals are low in her system. And there can be a lot of reasons that that happens. Usually it's digestive issues where you can't break down the food properly and pull all the minerals out of your food. And it's super, super common. But so if her minerals are real low, taking magnesium, which is a great mineral that your body needs, now she's giving her body what it needs so that it's not screaming in the middle of the night, hey, we're freaking out, seizure alert, you know, give me some chocolate chip cookies. Her body is not waking her up in this alert stage. Now this magnesium helped her sleep. So the magnesium was a hero for her, and Chris is all pissed off because he's tired the next day and he's a zombie and people are throwing butter at him and he doesn't understand why.
It's weird because every weekend, I guess my body feels like it's going to go into a seizure because that's when I crave on the weekends. Wow.
Why is that? Is it because you like working more?
I guess because I'm too busy during the week to think about it.
Uh-huh. Interesting. And you finally crash on the weekend when you calm down a little bit?
And want to have a drink to get away from Tony.
Uh-huh. Lots of drinks I needed for that.
Exactly. So Kimberly, who also does not have a place where she lives, she just has a couple of words on here. Melatonin, period. Side effects, period.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one because a lot of people will use melatonin to sleep. And this is kind of how it happens. And melatonin is, you know, we make melatonin in our body and it is beneficial to help us sleep. But what happens is people will take melatonin and for the first 2 weeks, now they have the melatonin that their body was making plus this melatonin that they're supplementing. So they have these high levels of melatonin and it kind of helps them sleep more. And like, holy mackerel, I found the holy grail. I did it. I fixed my insomnia. And what happens is as this more additional melatonin's coming in, your body's like, oh, we don't need to make so much. We already got this stuff coming in now. It's like we got some kind of bonus prize. So the body starts to make less. And now you end up back to kind of the same amount of melatonin that you start with. And not only that, but you kind of taught your body not to make it anymore. So you're kind of in this mode where you're stuck taking it now to continue sleeping. And since your body's not making as much, now your levels are kind of go back down and you're not sleeping as well. And people start to think, well, maybe my insomnia is just getting worse because the melatonin totally helps. So that must be good. That must be golden to take that. So I'm going to keep taking that and maybe I need to do something else to fix my insomnia. So what happens is it's very rare for someone to have a melatonin deficiency or not to make melatonin correctly. It's usually other issues that are causing the insomnia. The other thing is that melatonin will make your eyes fall out.
Wow.
Yeah, you want your eyes not to fall out. So it's not really true what I just said, but it was fun to say it. But here is what a lot of people are understanding now is that melatonin can cause ocular degeneration, which means that you're not going to be see as well.
Oh.
And that's similar to eyes falling out, but you can still look nice in the family portrait.
Okay.
If they don't fall out. But so I prefer to actually try and fix an underlying cause than using something that people are starting to say is causing ocular degeneration, and I don't know for sure that it is. I also don't understand why it does, if it does. So if you know out there, email me. I want to know because it annoys me when I don't know stuff.
Let's see here. Art from Raleigh, North Carolina. How do you counteract medication like ADHD prescribed stimulants?
Yeah, that's kind of tricky stuff. So one way to look at this is that ADHD is most commonly caused from what I see and from what other experts that I've talked to say is that ADHD is most commonly caused by a lack of resources. It's those low minerals again that we were talking about before when someone has low blood pressure and the body's not bringing in enough minerals. So the body uses these minerals for signals to kind of travel through from the body to the brain and back down to the body again. And if those minerals aren't there, then signals have a hard time traveling and we start to have mental or emotional issues. And a lot of people just kind of put labels on them because if there's something wrong with you, they don't know what drug to give you. But if they can call it ADHD or ADD or you're a maniac nut job, then they have a drug for that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be diagnosed and you feel better about yourself and you can take this med. But in most cases, ADD, ADHD are situations where there's not enough resources for everything to function correctly. And when you can give people those resources, all of a sudden their ADD starts to improve, and that's kind of fun. So one way to look at it, Art, is that who we're talking to?
Yeah, Art from Art. North Carolina.
What's up, Art? North Carolina's pretty cool. They have woods there.
Mm-hmm.
But Art, you might want to look at the fact that you may be able to find other solutions for your ADD, and you may be able to improve it naturally, and that may reduce or remove your need for stimulants. And a lot of those, you know, not everyone, some of them are absolutely stimulants, but some ADD and ADHD medications improve the symptom by blocking a person's ability to pee out their minerals. So now that person is holding in more minerals and their blood pressure comes up.
Blood pressure, yeah.
Yeah, and they can function like a human.
Interesting.
That can sometimes improve the ADD, but if it's also causing a stimulant for you and causing you to stay awake, then that can be a problem. But if you're an ADD person, the first thing I want to look at is, you know, what is your blood pressure? How are your minerals? Because it may not be the stimulant that's making you awake all night. It may be that your minerals are just so low that your body is keeping you awake all night. So you might want to take some steps to see about raising minerals and see if your sleep improves at all. And that could be fun there as a bonus. Otherwise, if you're stuck using the meds and your minerals are okay and it's just the stimulants that are keeping you awake, then obviously you need to try to take those earlier in the day. But you also may want to talk to your doctor about reducing your dose to see if you can keep your symptoms at bay and with a lower dose. Because a lot of times if you've been using a med for a while, your body will kind of react to it in a similar way, even if the dosage is smaller all of a sudden. And of course, talk to your doctor about that. Don't listen to me about that.
Exactly. Did you not hear the disclaimer at the beginning?
Yeah. It was so fast and speedy and fun, but it said stuff. And you should know that stuff.
Exactly.
But yeah, so I'm not going to tell you to stop taking the med, but talk to your doctor about that, because that there could be some options in there for you. Now, if you want to understand, well, how do I lift my minerals? It can be different for every person, and you do want to look at your blood pressure. That's a pretty good sign of where your mineral levels are, because our blood pressure is a reflection of the minerals in our system, and as well as sugars and some proteins a little bit too, but it's mostly minerals. So look at your blood pressure, and if the systolic is the top number is below 112, then you consider that's a little bit low. And you can do things like start adding sea salt to your food. Sea salt is actually something that we need. It's minerals, and we need those. And we've kind of been taught that salt is bad and that we're evil if we have salt. But that's not the case. If you need minerals, that's a great source of minerals.
All right. I actually stopped listening a couple of minutes ago because I have ADHD.
Oops.
My question is, does counting sheep really help?
You know, that's kind of the best way to get you to hate sheep.
Well, you know, I hate lamb and I can't eat it. And maybe that's why.
It's maybe you spent too much time
counting sheep.
Because I love lamb, but I don't like counting sheep. But here's another thing that we kind of want to look at. And, you know, all these things that people do to sleep, you know, they're counting sheep or they're doing something to relax themselves, all this stuff. You're kind of taking steps to put yourself as close as you can be to a human that can sleep. Even if your physiology is all jacked up in a place that's keeping you from sleeping, it's okay to do things that will put you closer, even though that's not the solution. You know, counting sleep is not...
Counting sheep,
yeah. I like to count sleep. I had one sleep that night. I can't wait till tomorrow night and I can count to two. But counting sheep is just one thing that will allow you to take your mind off of things that you may be thinking about. It's just, you're just counting, and that's kind of a really boring thing to do. So it allows you to quiet your mind a little bit. And then if you're a person that has a hard time sleeping, you're just putting one more thing in your favor. You know, just like there's lots of other things that people will try and do to sleep too, like, you know, warm milk or, you know, I don't know if they wipe it on them or they drink it, but...
They drink it. Chamomile, too, is
right.
The tea. Yeah.
Sure. So you're just doing things to push you in the direction of sleep, and that's fine to do that. But what's better is to fix the actual underlying cause, because we're built to sleep at night. That's what we're supposed to do. That's why I do it every night. I was built to sleep. It's fun.
I could sleep right now.
Uh-huh.
Just listen to Tony.
I know.
Kidding. Oops. Okay, so here's some other topics that a few people ask. People asked about watching TV to fall asleep. Is that a good idea, or does it overstimulate your brain, or what?
I think it depends on what you're watching, but I think it's kind of like a sheep thing where maybe your life just sucks. So if you can remove yourself from your life where you're worrying about all this stuff and rent is due and why don't my shoes fit anymore, you know, kind of thing, then if you can find something relaxing to watch, then you remove that activity of thinking about things and you go into some other world, and that can be fun. But I would rather have a person just relax by just reading or doing something different that before they go to sleep, because TV is not that relaxing anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, everything on there has a machine gun or somebody screaming at someone else in a kitchen. You know,
you could watch one of those religious programs.
Oh,
that might put you to sleep.
That could do it. No. That could do. Oops.
Just pissed off about half of our viewers. What's good to do and not to do before bedtime?
Yeah, so that's kind of the same thing. I think sex is good to do before bedtime.
Hey, all right.
I think it's best if you do it with someone else.
Okay, yeah.
But,
damn.
You know, whatever. But, you know, I like to work. Now, if you're a person that is leaning more towards catabolic, and if you want to learn how to look at your physiology, I teach how to do that in all my books, but we also have a free 4-week digestion course on kickitinthenuts.com, and it teaches you how to do simple tests, like look at your pHs and your blood pressure and how you breathe and stuff like that. And you can kind of get an idea of, okay, am I leaning one direction or the other? So if you're catabolic and you're doing your workouts later in the day or in the evening, you're kind of pushing yourself more catabolic with that workout, because a workout is pushes your body into that awake mode of making energy and cells being more open. So if that's a problem for you, then try putting your workouts earlier in the day, and that may help you sleep more. So working out is not a great activity to do at night if you're a catabolic person. I also like to not see people eat carbs or sugars at night if they're a low resources person, if their blood pressure is low. So a lot of people have some fruit at night because they crave something sweet, or they'll have, you know, a bucket of cookies, you know, something like that. And what happens is that'll spike your blood sugar up, and then insulin goes way high, and you produce too much insulin, and it crashes your sugar down. So now in the middle of the night, your body's going to wake you up and be like, I got nothing. Give me something. I got nothing.
That's why I keep a stash of cookies by the bed.
It's good. And if you keep them in the pillow,
you already can just grab half chewed up, so then I don't have to do a lot of work. You know?
Man, we're really bringing forward some sensible some sensible tips here.
Don't listen to me. I'm not the health expert. Okay, Carla wants to know about the use and abuse of sleep aids.
Yeah, that's, you know, the worst part is that they do knock you out in the head. And you can get some sleep, and I think that can be nice. But a lot of them make it to where you're just kind of a zombie all day.
Give them some butter.
Yeah. But they make you in a zombie, like in a non-functional, I can't type my name kind of way. Mm. And that's always my judgment of how am I doing, is can I type my name? I think it's important to be able to do that. To know how to do that. So a lot of those drugs just make a person where they just can't function anymore. The other problem is that it's another drug. And the way the drugs work is by overwhelming the liver so that the drug can stay in the system long enough to do the job that it's supposed to do. Because the liver is supposed to remove foreign objects, and a drug is a foreign. The body doesn't know what that is. So, you know, when you're having to use a drug to sleep, you're putting another burden on your body, a lot of times your body is not getting the rest, just your brain is, because the drug shuts you down. So a lot of those people just end up just wiped out all the time. So those are a lot of problems that can go along with that. So if you can work on the, you know, the underlying cause, man, that's a better time. Mm-hmm. Let's do that. Let's work on the underlying cause instead of just hammering your liver and making you think that you're asleep, even though your body is not getting the repairing and rebuilding that it needs to do.
So your liver is really important.
Basically. I like to keep mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really important. That's good. Okay, so once you're asleep, how do you stay asleep? And how would you do anything about it while you're asleep? I don't.
Yeah, there's not really steps you can take to stay asleep. And I want you to set your alarm for 3 a.m.
Wake yourself up to make sure you can go back. Yeah.
And then do this mantra, and then it'll make you stay asleep. No, but a lot of people... you know, because some people have the problem, I can't go to sleep. Some people fall asleep right away and then they wake up and they can't go back to sleep, or they had to get up to pee, you know, and once they did that, they were excited because their pants were down. I don't know. And then again, they can't go back to sleep. So all of these go back to giving your body what it needs so that it's functioning correctly, and physiology and imbalances are not keeping you from sleeping. So if you can either help your body move into that anabolic state at the cellular level so that it can really sleep, then it's not going to wake up. Your body needs, you know, 6, 8, 9 hours of sleep, and it knows how to do it if it's has the tools to do it correctly. So when you're waking up, know that things are not going right. You know, you got to fix some stuff. There's not really things that you need to do to just be able to stay asleep. You need to do the things to fix the physiology, and then your body will do the rest on its own.
So my one burning question there is, you wear pants to sleep?
I do wear pants. I don't wear a belt anymore because I'm a rebel
good.
Now.
Oh, good.
But I have this thing where I always like to be ready to go for a jog.
Oh.
And so I used to just get up and start jogging, and then I realized I didn't have pants on.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. That's just my thing. Mm-hmm. Again, ask your doctor if wearing pants to bed is right for you.
Yeah, and remember, the disclaimer, don't make me do it again. Okay, Carla wants to know about, did we already do Carla? We already did Carla. Let's talk about Megan, or Megan, however you want to say it. Sorry, Megan.
I want to say it Megan.
Yeah, okay, Megan. How do different imbalances affect sleep? What foods or supplements are effective in creating the balance that will facilitate sleep?
Hmm. Okay, you can tell Megan has read some of my books or something, because she knows about stuff.
And she uses the word facilitate.
Yeah, I don't use that word, but I like it when people use that. But I often facilitate. See, that's why I don't use that word.
Yeah.
That's sad. So this is what we want to do. The catabolic imbalance is the main one we talked about. The low minerals is another imbalance that can do that. And then there's one more in the autonomic nervous system, which is called a sympathetic imbalance. And that's basically, we move all the time from either the fight or flight state or the rest and digest state. Our body kind of does that for us all the time when needed. But if you're super stressed out, your body can be pushed into that sympathetic fight or flight state all the time. And then you go try and lie down, and your body's still freaking out. It's all stressed out, and it's kind of stuck in that ready to punch somebody in the face state, because that's what you do in the fight or flight state. You're like, if a lion's attacking you, you get all this adrenaline and everything, and you could punch a lion in the face.
Wow, I want to punch you in the face right now.
So you're leaning sympathetic.
Oh, cool.
It has nothing to do with me.
Okay.
I'm awesome. Nobody would want to punch me in
the
face.
Actually, he really is awesome. I gave him a hard time.
Oh. But so in order to improve that sympathetic state, you can do things to reduce your stress, or you can do things to naturally bring down blood pressure, because that can be a stress on your body. Now, if you're leaning too catabolic, you can do things like using butter and coconut oil some supplements that you can use that push you more towards a pro-anabolic state. Like glutamine is a great amino acid that's very pro-anabolic. And a person can use that if they already don't have high blood pressure. But see, that's where you don't want to say, oh, glutamine fixes insomnia, I'll just use glutamine. Because if you're a person that is already too anabolic and that's why you can't hold on to resources because you're burning up your sugars too fast, then glutamine's going to make you worse. So it's important to kind of look at where you are to understand what's going to work for you instead. But those are some things that help with pushing less catabolic. And if it's you're a low resources person, then sea salt can be a great help and doing things to improve your digestion so you can break down your food better. And we teach that in the 4-week digestion course. It's free.
You get it on kickitinthenuts.com. So a couple of extra questions. Can you train your brain to have a normal sleep schedule? Can you train yourself?
Yeah, a lot of people will say, don't mess with your sleep schedule. You have to go to sleep at the same time every day. You need to wake up at the same time. And then you'll teach your brain how to sleep. And it's really awesome to do that, except that it doesn't work. So that's less awesome. So,
I tried to train my cat. It doesn't work either.
Right. You have to beat a cat. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not good. I'm just kidding about that.
Here, kitty. He's got cats tied up in his closet, people.
No. But you can't train your brain to shut everything down when your body's screaming, hey, things are not going well down here. So if you need resources or at the cellular level, you're stuck in the awake mode, then teaching your brain to tell all of that to shut up is not going to do anything. That's like, getting your drunk uncle at the Christmas party to stop telling stories. You have to knock him out. Mm-hmm. You have to not invite him. Mm. I usually go with that one.
Yeah, that one's the best choice in that situation. Drinking's effect on sleep. I'm assuming they're talking about alcohol.
Yeah.
But they might be talking about caffeine and different things. But
I guess they could. Yeah. So, of course, we know caffeine is a stimulant, but even worse than that, caffeine is also a diuretic. So if you're a person with, low minerals and you drink coffee, it's going to cause you to pee more of those minerals out and you just lost more of your minerals.
You're looking right at me when you said that. Is that a note to me?
I don't know that it's a note to you, but I was looking right at you when I said that.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So alcohol, note who I'm looking at again.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
No. But alcohol is kind of those things that can go both ways. If you drink enough alcohol, well, then you'll be asleep.
Hey.
But that's not always a good, healthy thing to do.
You may not wake up.
Right. But alcohol is also sugar. So if you're a person with low minerals and you drink, alcohol, especially at night, then you're going to spike your sugar and your insulin levels. And then that's going to cause your sugar levels to drop right in the dirt. And you're not going to have any resources left. And your body's going to wake you up. So alcohol can be a really bad thing for sleep.
But if you were going to drink, then do it early on in the day.
Sure. Go to work drunk.
Okay. Awesome.
Right. That's what works for you.
Okay. Oh, good. I'll just show up. Tony, I'm wasted and I'm ready to work.
Uh-huh. But it's only so I can sleep tonight.
Uh-huh.
No. That can be a problem. And a lot of people think, well, it's just alcohol. It's going to help me sleep. But if you're a person with low resources, you can see how it can really screw that up.
Yeah, wow. You know a lot of crap.
I made up half of that just now, but that's okay because we filled the whole show and that's what you want to do.
Exactly.
So the main thing to understand with insomnia is that just because something worked for your friend doesn't mean it's going to work for you. And look at your body and what's going on. Actually, science is fun. It actually can tell you stuff instead of just throwing darts and making a guess at what's going to work and getting pissed off every time something doesn't.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or you can take the free, it's free people, no excuses, 4-week digestion course at kickitinthenuts.com. Catch us on the next episode where we'll be talking about misunderstanding the common cold. Thanks for tuning in to Kick It Naturally, where it's okay to talk about your poop. We like it.
We're done talking now. Play some music. Ba-dum-bum-ba-dum-ba.